Welcome to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about songs that transformed their lives. Because often, artists' own creative journeys are started when they hear something different, something mind-blowing in someone else's music. And those are the experiences we want to hear about. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and we're on, what, the 29th official episode of This Song, not counting last week's extra with Jonathan Myberg. And so we've heard a lot of stories of transformational musical encounters. And what I'm struck by is how often people's lives are changed by just random happenstance. And so it was for this week's featured artists, Delbert McClinton and Kerry Rodriguez. Neither of them was searching for musical enlightenment, but then this music was presented to them by the universe, and their lives were never the same. First up, Delbert McClinton. He's had, and I can safely say this, he's had an epic career in music. He played harmonica on Hey Baby and taught John Lennon a thing or two about blues harmonica. He's written number one hits. He's won Grammys. He's written music for movies. He puts together a blues cruise every year, which I've actually been on, and so I can attest it's super fun, and he's still performing and still killing it. He has a deep love for the blues, which, as he told Taylor Wallace, all started one night when he was a boy doing nothing that had anything to do with music. So here he is, Delbert McClinton.
Well, I've got a good one. I was about, 14 or 15 years old, during the birth of rock and roll. And I, some friends of mine, we used to spend a lot of time going to what we called the woods, which was across the railroad tracks on the west side of town. And there was this, these couple of ranches over there back then that were still just ranches, you know, and the river, Trinity River, ran through. Well, we'd go over there and camp out on the weekend and shoot everything that moved, you know, with our 22s and our 410 shotguns. And in order to get over there, there's a switching yard called the Hump, full of trains, where they made up trains, you know, and you could, back in the day, people slept with their windows open, and you could hear those, hear them making up trains. You could hear the train boxcar rolling. You could hear it hit and bang. It's really, really quite a nice thing to go to sleep to. What it was. Anyway, that's what the Hump was. And so in order to get over to the woods, you either had to go through the yard, which means going through all the trains, which was not a good idea.
Right.
So, but there was a culvert that ran under it that was about 4 feet tall, I guess. And it went straight over to the woods, other side. But in that culvert were cockroaches as big as your hand, you know. But
this was a horror story.
Well, it was quite an adventure because, I mean, we realized that they weren't going to do anything, but Jesus, they were huge. Anyway, we were coming back from spending a couple of nights over in the woods, and we're coming across this field. There was an old barbecue joint out there called The Grave. It was a black barbecue joint. This was, of course, during segregation. And out on Stowe Foundry Road, which was out in the country kind of at that time, and they had those old blaring speakers that play out because you had the tray on your window, you know, that kind of old drive-in thing. And across this field, I hear Honey Hush by Big Joe Turner, and it changed everything.
Head out the waterworks, baby. That don't move me no more.
The pulse was right where my heart beat. Exactly. I mean, I was right at home there, instantly.
It just radiated from the inside all the way deep down and out. That's
and it still does. One of the main guys that I learned to sing from listening to was Big Joe Turner. And I got to work with him a lot back in the day. Later on in the late 50s, early 60s, from 59 to 62. Back in the day, there was this beer joint called Jack's Place.
Okay.
And it was in Mansfield. And all the kids from Fort Worth could go out there because Jack would let you in. You could get in free. He had a deal with the police, you know. They had a,
right.
they had a big neon sign
uh-huh.
with a jackass kicking.
Uh-huh.
and the code was, if you're in the know, was if the jackass is not kicking, there's going to be a raid that night. Massfield police are going to come in. If the jackass is kicking, everybody party. Yeah, it pretty much focused me on something I didn't know quite what yet.
Had but you been playing music already?
I've always was playing music, but until that happened, I wasn't serious about playing music.
You knew how to, it was a difference between knowing how to play instruments and how to sing.
Well,
and
I wasn't driven, so to speak, until I heard him, and then after that I was driven. I was driven before, I just didn't recognize it because Bob Wills did the same thing to me. And Hank Williams did the same thing to me.
Your cheating heart will make you weep.
And Lefty Frizzell did.
If you got the money, I've got the time, we'll go honky-tonk.
But this was something new. This was black music.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed it bad, real bad. I embraced it with everything I've got and still do.
It's shake, round and roll. Shake, round and roll. Shake.
Coming from Texas, there's such a great world of music, conjunto music and Tejano and all of that Mexican-influenced great mm-hmm. rhythm stuff.
And, oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And, of course, mm-hmm. Doug Somm was the king of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He invented a whole genre all of his own, you know, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But Texas has just been a great place to get to know music. I had a book once called by John and Alan Lomax. I found this book about 1968, maybe. And it's a hardback book. And inside, you open it up, and there's color code of world music influence that came into the U.S.
Okay.
More different types of music came up through Gulf of Mexico and through New Orleans and swept across Texas and west than any of influences of music from all over the world. And especially the slave songs, the blues.
Mm-hmm.
Because
do you think that speaks to America kind of being a cultural melting pot and having all of this influence coming to it?
Well, of course it is. I mean, look at all the culture that came through New Orleans.
Exactly.
It was New York or New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
If you're headed across the continent, you don't start in Miami.
Right.
So, you know, so the Gulf opens you. You can go, you can get off in Texas or Louisiana or Mississippi or, you know.
Mm-hmm. And the influence is richer, you're saying, than it would be anywhere else you could draw a line.
Look at the history of New Orleans and all that came through there. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. Wow. Exactly.
I put two stories in one,
I think. Two stories.
The jackass story. But then,
well, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it, Delvin McQueen here. And below me, you can hear Solid Gold Plated Fool by Delbert McClinton, which has some of that New Orleans flavor he's talking about there. And, you know, him hearing Honey Hush, that was just a random occurrence, just like Leon Bridges just happening to hear Gary Clark Jr. on the radio on the way to dance class, or Nels Klein hearing John Coltrane's Africa for the first time at a friend's house. And yet hearing these songs sets people on entirely new artistic courses. It's the kind of thing that makes you believe in fate.
Now, I'm going to take a minute and ask that if you like hearing stories like Delbert just told, stories of music that made people the artists they are today, then please take a moment, go to iTunes, and subscribe to This Song. That way, you'll get new episodes like next week's with Josh Ritter and John Carter Cash delivered right to you. And you can catch up on old episodes like the one with Leon Bridges and Nels Klein. And while you're there, please leave a rating or a review. It helps us with iTunes ratings, and I'm not gonna lie, it makes us feel pretty incredible every time we get feedback from listeners. I mean, we put our podcast into the digital world full of noise, and we don't know if anyone's listening, and then we hear that they are, and it makes us feel rad. Next up is Carrie Rodriguez. She's a singer and a songwriter, and she has a beautiful new record out called Lola, which has both bilingual English-Spanish originals and has her singing traditional ranchera songs done in a not-so-traditional style. And she, too, had an experience of musical discovery that happened when she least expected it, though she wasn't hunting. She was touring. So here she is, Carrie Rodriguez.
So the song I'm thinking about is Cluck Old Hen, which is an old fiddle tune, but done by Bill Frisell. It's from an album called The Willies. It's with him and Danny Barnes on banjo, and a great bass player too, who I can't remember the name of him right now. That's okay. So I was on tour in Sweden with Chip Taylor. This would be probably a decade ago, and when I was 12. And I walked into a record store. At the time, I was married to a jazz musician. And I walk into this record store, and I'm like, you know, flipping through things. And I said, oh, Bill Frisell. Oh, this is more than 10 years ago, now that I think about it. But anyway, it's a second point. So I walk into this record store in Malmo, Sweden, and I'm thumbing through the jazz section thinking, oh, I'll buy something for my husband at the time. And Bill Frisell, oh, okay, I've heard of this guy. I think Javier really likes this guy, so I buy the record. And somewhere on that tour, we put it on in the van. And I was changed forever. I mean, I couldn't believe you could do that to an old-timey fiddle tune. It was like Bill Frisell just made this, I don't know, it's kind of samey sounding, you know, giddy up, old timey tune, be like in outer space. And it was the coolest thing I'd ever heard. Wanted to listen to all of his records after that. I mean, I went out and bought all the Bill Frisell records. I don't think it ever even made it to my ex-husband. I was like, no. But yeah, that's what started my love affair with Bill Frisell's music. And then eventually, you know, got to record with him and play music with him, which has been amazing.
So is there fiddle in the Bill Frisell version? Like,
No, but it's an old fiddle tune that
I
knew.
Yeah. And so you kind of knew it from like growing up and playing fiddle and...
Yeah, it's like this cluck old hen, cluck and squall, ain't laid an egg since way last fall.
Cluck old hen, cluck and sing, ain't laid an egg since way last spring. Cluck old hen, cluck and squall, ain't laid an egg since way last fall.
That one. But his version, I mean... Yeah, I just love the way he plays traditional music, fiddle music, country music too. But, you know, it's like he filters that through his whole, you know, musical world, which is whatever. I mean, I think it starts out super vibey and, you know, kind of picks up a little bit, and it's got weird minor-y notes. He brings out the weird. It's just, it's super cool. It's very hip.
And which is nice when someone does it to old-timey music, because at its core, old-timey music is super weird.
It is weird, yeah.
Like, it can be super weird, but it can also become super codified. like, this is the way that we do this
and samey
song. And samey.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And you were playing with Chip Taylor at the time, so you were playing not old-timey music, but like Americana-influenced
yes
music.
It kind of, and kind of bluegrassy. You know, the way I played the fiddle at the time was sort of, yeah, bluegrassy, that stuff.
Here comes Carrie.
And then I heard Bill Frisell.
Did you start playing differently? Like, did Chip Taylor look at you during gigs? Like, what is she yeah, doing? Right. Like,
I wonder if I did. Well, I'll tell you what I did, though. I took Chip to see Bill play at the Village Vanguard not long after that when we got back to New York. And I said, Chip, we should get this guy to record with us, don't you think? And Chip also fell in love with Bill's music, and we did. We got to record with Bill on our last duet record that we made.
So how was that? Like, how was it recording? Did you kind of fangirl out at the time, or were you like, because it's one thing to like go see the show of the guy that you really love, and it's another thing to actually be in the room making music with someone like that.
I was super shy, but the thing is, like, Bill is the sweetest human on the planet. He is so sweet and so humble, and he loves all music. Like, if he has a guitar in his hand, he's just the happiest person in the world, and he's like a little kid. And so that does put you at ease, you know, because he's having such a good time.
It's just all about the music and the song. And
it really is, yeah.
Do you think that it did change your playing when you heard his music, or like change the way that you approached music?
I do. I mean, on a lot of his records, there's just so much subtle interplay between him and the other musicians. And that kind of heavy-duty listening that happens often in jazz, or, you know, on these Bill Frisell records, is something that I definitely try to do with my own music. It's, you know, and if it, whatever kind of ensemble I'm playing with, even if it's just a duo, I really, it's like I'm much more interested in listening to the other person than myself. And if you do that, then cool stuff starts happening in the middle there somewhere.
Do you think that gets you away from playing kind of samey? Like, it gets you into new territory when you start to really communicate with the other people around you?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, I've gotten to do a few actually like duo shows with Bill, which it's funny. We were doing an interview and he said something like, one thing that he loved about music was that you could be super dangerous. Like, you could climb up to the top of a cliff and you could dive off and you could like soar around and follow the ground and it wouldn't hurt anybody, you know? Or you could like get in a fight with the other person and beat each other up. But then at the end of the song, no one got hurt.
The bruises don't last. Like, you can take chances. You can take an old timey song and turn it into something completely new and
out there.
And you have a new record out now, right?
I do. Let me just get it out of my purse for you, Elizabeth McQueen.
And some of it is your reinterpretations of like older songs, correct?
Yeah, this project is half in Spanish, actually, and half in English. And in the Spanish part, they're old classic ranchera tunes, Mexican ranchera tunes, and reinterpreted by actually, you know, Bill Frisell and band.
Wow. So were these tunes that you had grown up with knowing, or were they tunes that you got into later in life, or?
Well, my great aunt, her name was Eva Garza, was a fantastic singer of this type of music, ranchera music, starting in the late 1930s.
Oh, wow.
Me estoy muriendo y tú como si nada, como si al verme te alegrarás de mi suerte. Qué mal te
So I have her recordings, and that was my first introduction to this music. And then through her, I found out about other artists, which you know, I sang songs. For example, I have a song that I wrote, actually, that mentions Lola Beltran. She was one of the heavy-duty ranchera singers at the time.
Paloma negra, ¿dónde estará?
Javier Solís.
Me voy mi vida de tu presencia.
So yeah, through my great aunt, I kind of discovered a lot of other artists of her time. And then the album is a mix of those classic songs done in sort of a, well, modern, weirdo.
Kind of taking that Bill Frisell approach.
Bill Frisell meets Tex-Mex.
Well, if he's going to do it to Cluck Old Hen, you know, it's like, well, Let's take this and bring it into a new thing. But it's also you who's doing that. Like, you put the band together. You chose the songs. And you chose to do kind of the same thing that you were so attracted to when you were in the van and driving around Europe somewhere and put that Bill Frisell on for the first time. It's like, oh, let's take that thing that existed and make it, like, open it up.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
It's a way to make something uniquely yours, I guess.
And then... Did you also write the other half of the songs?
Yeah. So, like, in discovering some of these older ranchera artists and their music, I became really inspired to write my own songs. So the album ended up being half in Spanish and half in sort of Spanglish. The originals are in Spanglish.
When you were writing your own songs, were you trying to get the feel of rancheras, or just kind of evoke the feeling that you got when you listened to them? Was that...
Well, singing in Spanish and listening to these ranchera songs, it started bringing up, memories of my childhood, feelings about what it means to be a Mexican-American fiddle player, country singer. It is kind of unusual. I don't know a lot of other Chicana fiddle players. There might be a few. But so it just started like pulling up all these feelings and thoughts about sort of my place in the world and how I view things. And some good, some bad. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the songs, they reflect that.
Well, wonderful. I can't wait to hear your new record. And thank you so much for sitting down with me.
Oh, my pleasure.
Right on.
Noche de ronda, qué triste pasas, qué triste cruzas por mi balcón. Noche de ronda.
And below me, you can hear Noche de Ronda from Carrie Rodriguez's new record, Lola. It's one of those traditional rancheras that she does in a not-so-traditional way. And just like Delbert, she wasn't expecting her mind to be blown when she put that CD on in the van. But it was. She was suddenly opened up to the idea that she could live in the space that she needed to live in, where traditional didn't mean samey, samey. She loved the music so much that she sought out the man who made it, Bill Frisell, and now she's making records with him. Making records with the man that blew her mind. How awesome is that? Both Carrie and Delbert did live performances in KUTX's Studio 1A. I'll post links to them on the This Song page for this episode, along with Carrie's guest DJ, My KUTX Set, and a link to the View House video of her performance of another song from the new record, Frío en el Alma. And that's it. We have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9, The episode was produced and edited by John Parsons, David Sanger, and me, Elizabeth McQueen. The Delbert McClinton interview was recorded by Cliff Hargrove, and the Carrie Rodriguez interview was recorded by Art Levy. Taylor Wallace interviewed Delbert McClinton, and just so you know, she's on KUTX every Saturday from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. And you can hear John Parsons, who edited that Delbert interview, every Saturday on KUTX from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Yay! Antoinette Misando is our social media guru and teacher of the ways of Snapchat. Thanks to Peter Babb and Deidre Gott for all their help on the podcast. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own excellent hard-proof Afro beat. And don't forget to check out the Spotify playlist for this episode. We've made a playlist of all the songs that we referenced, so you can hear every song that we reference all the way through. You can email us at thissong@KUTX or follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchat. Our handle is @thissongKUTX. Follow us on Facebook, and hey, you can subscribe to This Song along with the other KUTX podcasts, Liner Notes, Song of the Day, and Austin Music Minute on iTunes. And like I said, we'd love a rating or a review. Right on. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next time.